Turn with me to 1 Thessalonians. 1 Thessalonians chapter 2 is where we will be. As we think about the great task that's in front of us, what lies ahead of us, and if Chris back there can, I'm going to ask him if he can pull up for us just so that you'll get an idea of where we're talking about in the country of Georgia and Tbilisi. It'll be kind of hard to see, but you'll see it up there. We'll actually be in down here in the lower right-hand corner. You'll see it'll say Tbilisi down there. And if you'll give me the next ones, you'll see Michael's family. There's Michael and his wife, Angela. And then also the next one should show the children as well and the whole family. And there they are. And then I'm going to ask him to go to the next one, and he'll place them there on the country of Georgia. That's where we're headed. That is our missionaries that are there, Michael and Angela. I got an email from him this morning to let me know that Gino, who is one of their native individuals that he's working with, is going to be a native pastor there in Tbilisi. Their church was praying for us this morning before we ever get ready to make this journey. And what a special blessing that is. And what a connection we have all around the world through our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. People in different nations, in different countries, in different tongues are able to come together for one thing that holds us all together. And that's the glorious gospel of Jesus Christ. 1 Thessalonians, the letter that Paul wrote to the church at Thessalonica, is an interesting one. Shortly after coming to Thessalonica, Paul was forced to move along to Berea, then eventually over to Athens, and then on to Corinth. And while he was in Corinth, it is thought that he probably wrote the letter back to the church at Thessalonica. While he was there, after receiving word from Timothy about the believers that were there in Thessalonica. And so it's interesting as we read this letter, starting in verse 1 of chapter 2, I want you to notice with me as Paul shares his heart with those believers that were in Thessalonica. For yourselves, brethren, know, or you know. That is emphatic in the Greek. And basically, Paul says, you know, you already know that our entrance unto you, that it was not in vain. We did not come. We're not going to Georgia just to go on a sightseeing trip or a sightseeing tour. We are going to be very busy the whole time we are there. Sunday morning, I'll be speaking in the church start or the church plant there in Tbilisi. We'll be leaving there that afternoon, headed to the IDP. We'll start early Monday morning at the IDP, and we'll start about 9 o'clock in the morning. We'll go until we finish with our own private time and devotions that evening about 9 o'clock. So we're looking at about 12 hours a day, each day that we're there, and then eventually come back to Tbilisi, and then get to spend an afternoon and then catch an airplane home. It's interesting, we leave here on Thursday afternoon at 5:20. We don't get into the country until Saturday morning. We'll get on an airplane Saturday morning in Tbilisi, and we will be in New Orleans by 6:30 Saturday evening. It kind of messes with who you are. But I want you to notice as Paul continues. Paul wants you to understand that our going is not in vain. And some people say, well, what if nobody accepts Jesus Christ while you're there? That's not up to us. God said to go. God said, leave the rest to me. You sow the seed, you plant the seed, leave the rest to me. We go, we sow the seed, God gives the increase. Who knows, many of us may never see the results of what we're going to do in this lifetime. But one day, as Brother Tommy prayed this morning, that when we're standing in the presence of the Lord, that there will be Georgians there who came to know Jesus Christ as a result of the seed that was planted in their heart. And to know that Paul and their journey to Thessalonica was not in vain. When you come to verse 5 of chapter 1, I want you to go back to chapter 1 and verse 5. I want you to notice as Paul shares with the church there at Thessalonica, notice what he said, for our gospel came not unto you in word only, but also in power and in the Holy Ghost and in much assurance, as you know what manner of men you were among you for your sake. And you became followers of us and of the Lord, having received the word in much affliction. You ought to underline that, in much affliction. Let me tell you something, it's costly. There's great opposition. How many of y'all share the gospel with just once your neighbors that you come in contact with, or even some of your co-workers that you have, and notice the opposition that's there when you share the glorious gospel of Jesus Christ? For many, the gospel is offensive. For many, it means giving up control of their own individual lives and their own individual hearts and giving it over to God and His love and His grace that He gave us, Jesus Christ, to die in our place. And folks, I will tell you, I still wrestle with this today because I just can't get my arms around it. I just don't understand it. How in the world somebody can turn around and walk away from the gospel of Jesus Christ? Because, see, it sets you free. Matter of fact, it is joy that comes into your heart that is indescribable. There is a peace and a contentment that comes to your heart as a result of knowing Jesus Christ as your personal Savior that goes above and beyond anything that you could ever think or imagine. And that's what God gives you because He loves you. And here's the great thing about it is, it doesn't cost us anything. It costs God everything. God sent His Son to die in our place so that you and I could have the privilege to be a child of God. What a thought, as Paul continues. He says in verse number 7, so that you were examples to all that believe in Macedonia and Achaia. For from you sounded out the word of the Lord, not only in Macedonia and Achaia, but also in every place. Your faith to Godward is spread abroad, so that we need not to speak anything. Verse number 2 of chapter 2. Paul says, but even after that we had suffered before and were shamefully entreated or mistreated. As you know at Philippi, we were bold in our God to speak unto you the gospel with much contention or in spite of much opposition. For our exhortation was not of deceit or error, nor of uncleanness or impurity, nor in guile or deceit, but as we were allowed of God to be put in trust or to be entrusted with the gospel. Even so we speak not as pleasing men, but God which trieth our hearts. Would you bow together with me as we pray? Father, we thank you for your word. And Father, we thank you for its absolute truth. Father, we thank you for all of those things that it contains. Father, to allow us to know you better and to know you more. But Father, to also to take its truths and Father, to hide them in our hearts and live them out each and every day of our lives. Father, we might be an example to those around us. Father, that others might see Jesus Christ in all that we do. And Father, as the song says, people need the Lord. And Father, that possibly maybe through us, as you shared with us, as we have it recorded in Matthew, and Jesus in the Sermon on the Mount said, you're the light of the world and you're the salt of the earth. What good is that light if it's hid under a bushel? And what good is that salt if it's lost its savor? God, I pray this morning that our light would never be hid under a bushel, and that our salt would not lose its savor. Father, that the light would shine brightly and the salt would be salty. Father, help us, I pray, as we look at this letter as Paul wrote to the church at Thessalonica, to understand the cost, and Father, the responsibility that we've been entrusted with the gospel. And Father, we pray that you would speak to our hearts as only you can, in Jesus' precious name. Amen. The gospel was not brought to Thessalonica without cost or without opposition. This mission trip to Georgia is not without cost. There are some who are giving up their time at work to go. Many out of their own pockets have put up the money for the cost to go. It is with great opposition that we're going. I don't know how many of y'all followed the My Hope Festival that took place in Tbilisi, Georgia, under the leadership of Franklin Graham. But the opposition began soon as they stepped their foot on the soil of Georgia. to begin. But God, miraculously, even through the opposition that was there, we saw close to 15,000 come to the My Hope Festival that was there. Hundreds come to know Jesus Christ as their personal Savior. And my dear friend, you'll not stop the message of God. No matter how great the opposition may be, no matter how great the cost may be, God's name will be uplifted and glorified in whatever avenue He so deems it to be so. And so as we go to the country of Georgia, it's not without cost, it's not without opposition. Matter of fact, Satan has been working all along in preparation to even go. But I can share this with you today as well. My stepmom is now out of intensive care. She has been moved down to rehab. She's going to go home in a couple of days. And the doctor said they didn't think she would make it through. It just goes to show that God knows a little bit more than everybody else does when it comes to those matters. But ones that I've heard from different ones, just different issues that have come up and different things we've had to deal with in preparation to get ready to go. It's not without cost and not without opposition here, but I can assure you when we get there, there will be opposition. There will be opposition to the team that's there. There will be opposition while we're there sharing with those. But I'm going to tell you something, what a blessing it is. We're looking, they're anticipating anywhere from 60 to 75 kids to be there in the camp. And then in the evening times, we'll be sharing the gospel with the adults in the camp. And then on Thursday night, we'll hold a Bible study listen, I can't wait, okay? If it doesn't hurry up and get here, I'm going to die, all right? Because of the privilege to be able to take the gospel message to those that need it. But see, with this cost and with this opposition, one of the things that I want you to notice in verse number 2, also came boldness and courage to speak the gospel. Folks, listen to me. We don't need to be ashamed of the gospel. Paul said in Romans chapter 1, "For I'm not ashamed of the gospel, because it's the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believeth, to the Jew first and also to the Greek." There is no reason for us to be ashamed of the gospel. And my dear friend, when opposition comes and cost comes and persecution comes, it's amazing the boldness that we get to share the gospel. And Paul said, even in spite of all of the difficulties that they saw in Philippi while they were there, the beatings and all that Paul and them suffered while they were there, he said, "We were bold in our God to speak unto you the gospel with much contention or opposition." Boldness to preach the gospel, to share the gospel message. I'm going to tell you something. I wish we could just go over there and take and line them all up, kind of cut their top of their heads, open them up, pour the gospel in, and close it shut and come home. And knowing that it would be there. But I know, even carrying the gospel, there will be those that will be opposing of everything that we do. But you know what? It takes that one. It takes that one when that child walks up to you and says, "I want to know more about Jesus." And to be able to share the glorious gospel with a child. And in childlike faith, when they call out to a holy God and ask Jesus Christ. You see, the kids can change and help change that nation with the gospel of Jesus Christ. And are you ready for that? And we've got a part in that. Do you realize you as a church, Ascension Baptist Church, everything that we're going to do by foot there, it is all, listen, we're all a part of it. It doesn't make any difference whether you physically set your feet there or whether your prayers and just your spirit goes with us while we're there. It's all accounted to Ascension Baptist Church for all that we're going to do. The source of their courage was in their faith in God, knowing that God would do abundantly above anything that they could ask or think. I'm going to ask you a question today. How many of us truly believe God can change a nation through a team of 10 people that's willing to go and take the gospel. Do we really believe that today? You know, we talk about it all the time. So in spite of the persecution in Philippi, they faithfully shared the gospel that God had entrusted them with. It's not to be hid. Verse 4. But as we were allowed of God, I want you all to underline that, as we were allowed of God to be entrusted with the gospel. My dear friend, do you understand and realize what a privilege it is to be entrusted with the gospel message of Jesus Christ? It's important. I was sitting up here and I was praying. I said, God, I don't know how I'm going to get through this. I was about to boo-hoo sitting up here on the pew. I guess this is why I struggle with it. See, I haven't always been a preacher. You see, I was one of those who were trying to go just as far the other direction away from God as you could possibly go. Didn't want anything to do with Him. Didn't need Him. I didn't need Jesus Christ. And the tough part about all of that is I was raised in a Christian home. When I finished with high school, I had one thing on my mind, and that was to get out of the house, leave home. I had the world by the tail. Look out, Katie, bar the doors. Because Robert Lawrence has hit the world scene. For 14 years, I tried everything I could try to fill that emptiness and that void that was in my heart and life for 14 years. But there was an individual who worked on the second floor of the building that I worked in Germany, at Ramstein Air Base, Germany. He worked on the second floor. And it's amazing how God put all of that together. Because when we got over to Europe, one of the things that I told my wife, I said, you'll not drive the car to church. Not here. And unbeknownst to me, some friends that we had here had family there at Ramstein, and so they put her in contact with them, and guess what? They come by and picked her up and the kids and took them to church. So John Turner found out who I was. He found out that I worked on the first floor. He worked on the second floor. And I will tell you to this day, it was because of the love and concern that John Turner had for me. He never judged me, never condemned me. So we'd meet for lunch and we'd meet at other times and he'd just talk and just share the things about Jesus Christ and in a very loving and a relational way. And I'm going to tell you something, that'll melt the hardest heart of stone that there is. And then God took everything that I had worked for. Matter of fact, I had one desire in my heart, and that was to eventually go on and to become a commissioned officer in the United States Air Force, retire as possibly a bird colonel. I came home and told my wife. I said, I got accepted on the first board. Everything is set. I said, you'll never have to worry about anything else in life again. Because I have finally got to the rung that I was looking for. Started preparing and planning, working out, getting ready to go to OTS. That was 2 weeks from leaving. The strangest thing happened. It had never happened in the history of the military before. Wouldn't you know, it had to happen with me. 2 weeks before I was supposed to leave, the general that I worked for called me upstairs to his office. It was not uncommon. I was in and out of his office all the time because I worked directly for him. So it was not uncommon to be in and out of his office. And so I didn't think a whole lot about it. But this particular day when I walked upstairs to the general's office, I noticed he had a different countenance on his face. So So I walked in, just like you're supposed to. I reported, stood at ease, and he said, "Have a seat." And I thought, when the general tells you to have a seat, the news is generally not good. First thing that went through my mind was one of our folks or one of our parents had passed away back in the States, and so he was going to share that with me. But no, this is what he shared. He said, "I don't know how to tell you this." He had a tear in the corner of his eye. He said, "The Air Force has never done this before." He said, "But they have canceled all OTS classes for an indefinite period of time." You could have taken a 45 and put it up to my head and pulled the trigger, and I'd have probably never known what happened. I can't explain to you the feeling that came over me, and I never will forget when I walked out and I went home and I told my dear sweet wife what had happened. She said, "God knows best." So, the next week, the general says, "So what are you going to do?" I said, "I'm getting out." He said, "You can't do that." I said, "Oh, yes, I can." I said, "My ETS is up in June, and I'm out of here. We can't afford you to go." "Oh, yes, you can, because you can't stop me. This is one time where you can't control this." So in June, I separated. We came back to the States, wound up in Jacksonville, Florida, and the rest is history. June the 8th or July the 8th, 1990, sitting in a service by a missionary who made frequent trips back and forth to Cuba. Clint Andrews was preaching a message. I still remember to this day just like it was yesterday. And here's what he said. He said, "You'll never have a servant's heart until, first of all, you've had a changed heart." And it was just like it hit me right between the eyes. And I honestly believe sitting in that chair, in that service, God said, "This is it. Here it is." They gave the invitation before the invitation had even started. First note on the piano out the aisle I went and down. Clint Andrews said he thought it was like, he said, "I thought I was getting ready to get run over by a truck." I took Clint Andrews by the hand and he said, "What are you coming for?" And I said, "I don't care what it takes before I leave this place today. I want it settled." He said, "Well, you already know." I said, "No, you're not getting off that easy." I said, "I want you to take the Bible and I want you to show me from the Scripture what's necessary." He took the Word of God and we sit down. We knelt down in a chair and he took the Word of God. He started in Romans chapter 3, and he took me all through the book of Romans, and he said, "Now the rest is up to you." And I remember bowing my head on that chair, calling out to a holy God, and asking him to forgive me for my sin, for all the skepticism in my heart. Just throw myself on his mercy. I got up from there, and it was like a ton weight had been taken off of my shoulders. The brightness of the day and the peace and contentment in my heart. And Brother Clint asked me, he says, "Well, do you want to get baptized?" And I said, "Yeah, today." He said, "Well, I think they're baptizing tonight." I said, "I'll be there." And so that night, I got baptized. And he said, "Well, what do you think these folks are going to think about you in this?" I said, "I don't care what they think. What I'm concerned about is what God thinks." And so there it happened. So let me ask you today. A team that's commissioned by God as an ambassador. for the glorious gospel message of Jesus Christ and entrusted to carry that message to a lost and dying world, to a people that God loves, and that you and I cannot do anything less but love as well, because of the privilege that we have to be a child of His. Would you bow your heads together with me as we stand to our feet? And here's the invitation this morning. If you want to come up, place your hands on one of these shirts up here this morning and pray over them, please feel free to do so. But here's the invitation to you this morning. It's the same invitation that I heard. It's the same invitation that we're going to take to the people of Georgia. If you don't know Jesus Christ as your personal Savior, as the Scripture says, today is the day of salvation. Not tomorrow, not next week, but today. If you don't know Jesus Christ as your personal Savior, let me share something with you. You want your life to change? You want the bondage of this world to be released? You want to experience the peace and contentment that passes all understanding? Then give your heart and life to Jesus Christ, and He'll do that for you. I guarantee you He'll do that. I know. I've been there. But here's what it's going to take. The hardest thing you're ever going to do is step out from where you're at and take that first step and release yourself and take Jesus Christ. It'll be the hardest thing that you'll do. But here's the invitation this morning. It's for you. What will you do with it? Heavenly Father, the invitation we place into your hands. We pray your perfect will be done in it all. And we ask it all in Jesus' name and for His sake. Amen.